Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gura Bhakta Vrinda.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 15, Text 270. Sava Bhama Bhattacharya offers prasad to the Lord. Some little strong incense going somewhere. Ayu Shriram Yaso Dharamam Lokana Shisha Evacha Hanti Sheyang Sisarvani Pungso Mahad Atikrama. Translation. When a person mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. Purport. This is a statement made by Sukadeva Goswami, who was relating Srimad Bhagavatam 10.4.46 to Maharaj Pariksit. This quotation concerns the attempted killing of Krishna's sister, Yogamaya, who appeared before Krishna's birth as the daughter of Mother Yasoda. This daughter, Yogamaya, and Krishna were born simultaneously, and Vasudeva replaced Krishna by taking Yogamaya away. When she was brought to Mathura, and Kansa attempted to kill her, Yogamaya slipped out of his hands. She could not be killed. She then informed Kansa about the birth of his enemy, Krishna, and being thus baffled, Kansa consulted his associates, who are all demons. When this big conspiracy was taking place, this verse was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. He points out that a demon can lose everything because of his nefarious activities. The word Mahad Atikrama, meaning envy of Lord Vishnu and his devotees, is significant in this verse. The word Mahat indicates a great personality, a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God in himself. Being always engaged in the Lord's service, the devotees themselves are as great as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Mahat is also explained in Bhagavad Gita, Mahat Manastu Mamparta Daivim Prakritim Ashita. Vajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutadim aviyam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Being envious of the Lord and his devotees is not at all auspicious for a demon. By such envy, a demon loses everything considered beneficial. The verse again, when a person which treats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. So this is Sarva Bhama Bhattacharya speaking. Who is he speaking to? No. Where's he coming? No. I don't know. Who is he speaking to? It's been a while since I read this chapter. Anyways, he is definitely speaking. And this verse he's referring to, obviously, the offense that Amoga had committed to Lord Chaitanya. Amoga had criticized Lord Chaitanya for a quantity of food that apparently he was consuming at the house of Sava Bhama Bhattacharya. And Sava Bhama Bhattacharya, of course, was very, very disturbed at this offense that had been committed to the Lord. He was thinking that he invited the Lord to come to his home so that he and his wife may both render service to him. And instead, he has brought him to his homes for him to be criticized. And therefore, Sahabam Bhattacharya was certainly lamenting that the Lord had to be criticized under such conditions, under such circumstances. But when he heard that Amoga had contracted cholera, he was thinking that it is the favor of Providence that he is doing what I want to do. In other words, both he and his wife were so terribly disturbed at the offense committed by Amoga that it was, I guess, the wife of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya who said that let our daughter become a widow. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was actually thinking that the only way that this can be rectified is if this Amoga is killed. But then he was thinking that actually it's also a great offense to kill a Brahmin, so I can't kill him for this offense because he is a Brahmin. But then he was thinking he would take his own life, and he said, oh, but I can't kill myself either also because I'm a Brahmin. But he was wanting in some way that Amoga be punished. So then when he heard that Amoga had contracted cholera, he was thinking, yes, this is the favor of Providence. This is what I wanted to do, but I couldn't do it, but Providence has arranged it. And then the verse described that when one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, karma immediately takes effect. And then he recited these two verses from the revealed scripture. The last verse that was read, and this verse that we read today, that when a person mistreats great souls, his lifespan, his opulence, his reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. So, Prabhupada refers to the purport that such great souls, they are Mahatmas, Mahatmanastumam Partha, Daivam Prakritim Asita, that these are the great souls, those who are not deluded, because, and such great souls are under the protection of the divine nature, the Daivam Prakritim of the Lord. Why are they under the protection? Because they are fully engaged in devotional service. So, those who are under the protection of the Lord's internal potency, when a person mistreats such great souls, then all of these things are ultimately destroyed in his life, his lifespan, his short duration of life. Of course, we understand that in the age of Kali Yuga, all of this lifespan is being destroyed. This is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that in Kali Yuga, seven things will diminish as Kali Yuga progresses, and one of them is the duration of life: memory, truthfulness, cleanliness. These also decrease as Kali Yuga progresses. But lifespan is diminishing as Kali Yuga progresses, but also we see here that if a person offends another devotee, then also, although what he may be destined to live a longer life because of his offense committed, he may have to accept the reaction, and therefore his lifespan will be decreased. He'll lose his opulences. In other words, all the opulences which have been accumulated ultimately by the sanction of the Supreme Lord, they'll also ultimately be destroyed by offense committed to great souls. His reputation, religion, possessions, good fortune, all of these things are taken away. Because great souls are those souls who are protected by the Lord. And as we know that when a great soul is offended by by anyone, whether he be a demon, as described here in this verse, or even one who may be a devotee, he loses his reputation. He loses everything acquired ultimately by the grace of the Lord. Because the Lord cannot tolerate offense committed to one who is actually completely surrendered himself to him. Therefore, envy is spoken of here. It is because of the position of envy of the Lord and his devotees. And Prabhupada explains that the word maha atikrama, meaning envy of Lord Vishnu and his devotees, is significant in this verse. So, a devotee, of course, as we described, is one who is exclusively thinking of the service of the Supreme Lord. Such devotees, they have no personal interest. Everything that they do is directed or aimed for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, the envious person, he is very disturbed when he sees that a person who is fixed in service to the Lord, by his preaching, by his actions, and by his behavior, sometimes it may appear that his actions or words come into conflict with those who have some material attachment. We see that the symptom of an envious person is that he cannot tolerate, because of his envy, especially because of his envy of the Lord. When one is fully surrendered to the Lord, then he is also envious of a devotee who is fully surrendered because of his personal or vested interest. Therefore, we see there different examples given in Shastra of persons who are envious, just as Hirani Kashipu was envious of Prahlad Maharaj. He was envious of Prahlad Maharaj, and therefore he wished to destroy Prahlad Maharaj because of his envy. Why? Because he considered Prahlad Maharaj to be friendly with his enemy. Because ultimately he is envious of Lord Vishnu, and because Prahlad Maharaj was fixed on the Mahabhagavata platform and could not make any distinctions whatsoever, because he saw everything in relationship to the Lord, Hirani Kashipu was intolerant of Prahlad Maharaj's attraction to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And therefore, when Prahlad Maharaj would speak about Krishna, this would incite anger in Hiranyakashipu. How can you speak of the enemy? Where have you learned such things? He would speak in this way. This is the nature of a person who is being envious of the Lord, and he's envious of the fully surrendered devotee of the Lord. So, an envious person, one who is envious in this way, certainly brings about his own ruination, especially if he happens to offend a great devotee. Just like it is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Jagai and Madhai, although they were committed so many sinful activities, that Jagai and Madhai, the only sinful activity that they had not committed is they had not blasphemed the devotee of Lord Vishnu. Everything else they had committed, but this was their only great saving grace, of that they had never actually blasphemed the devotee of Lord Vishnu. So we understand that although they have maybe committed so many murders, crimes, thefts, inflicted so much pain on others, still, because they had not offended a devotee, of course they offended Lord Nityananda in that particular instance, that Lord Nityananda had been offended when he was struck in the head by the earthen pot. But Lord Nityananda, of course, did not want to take that offense. Although we see the example is that when that offense had been committed, Lord Chaitanya wanted to immediately destroy them. And then he appeared on the scene to invoke his Sudarshan Chakra, and he was prepared to kill them for having offended Lord Nityananda, because as he described to Jagai and Madhai, that Lord Nityananda's body is none different from my own. Anyone who commits an act against Lord Nityananda, such as that which was committed by Jagai and Madhai, then he ultimately must be destroyed. But Lord Nityananda was so determined to deliver them. So ultimately they were delivered by the grace of Lord Nityananda. But the devotee, if one offends a devotee of the Lord, such a great devotee of the Lord, then ultimately it will bring about his complete destruction. One may not be able to perceive, just as in this particular example of Amoga, he was envious of the Supreme Lord. He was thinking, who is this person who's come to accept food in my home? Why is he behaving in such a way? Why is he eating, consuming such large quantities of food? And he spoke out in a critical way against the Supreme Lord. And because of his offense, he contracted cholera. Just in the same way as the example is given of Gopala Chakravarti, who was criticized, and he also, his ruination was brought about Ramachandra Khan, who had also criticized Haridas Thakur What did he lose? He lost his home. His entire village was destroyed on his property and at the very, very place. The meat eaters came in and they slaughtered, they butchered animals in that place, and everything was destroyed for Ramachandra Khan because of his offensive attitude towards Haridas Thakur. Why? Again, because he was envious. The Haridas Thakur's reputation was so great that his glories were being sung by many people throughout the whole tract of land. And Ramachandra Khan was so envious of this fact that why is it that Haridas Thakur is receiving such recognition, such a reputation? I want to destroy his reputation. Again, this attitude of enviousness causes one to commit an act against such a surrendered devotee as Haridas Thakur. And the result is, we see that everything was destroyed for him. So it is simply a matter of time, or it may not be simply a matter of time, as described in this verse. When one offends the Supreme Personality of Karma, Godhead, karma immediately takes effect. This was the words of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Means that it may not be a very long period of time that one actually has to accept the reaction for one's offense to a devotee of the Lord. And therefore, one must always be very, very careful about this envious attitude that is there within one's heart. And certainly, if we may not direct our envious attitude towards such a greatly surrendered soul, a pure devotee of the Lord, but if we're not careful and we do not check our envious nature, then certainly we risk offending someone who is very dear to Krishna by our envious attitude. And the result is, as described here, the reaction that one will get ultimately by the Lord, because the Lord is so disturbed to see his devotee offended, he takes everything away from the offender and destroys him. Just as also as Ramachandra Puri was destroyed for his offense committed to his own spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. Also, he was condemned, destroyed, everything, his reputation. Of course, he had no reputation. His reputation was disreputation. He was infamous as a great offender. But he even lost his hope by being condemned to mental speculation, birth after birth after birth, for his offense to Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master. So, we'll continue. Acharya kahe upavasa kaila duijan visuchika vyadhite amogachadhiche jivan. Gopinath Acharya informed the Lord that both the husband and wife were fasting and that their son-in-law Amoga was dying of cholera. Shuni kripa maya prabhu aila dan amhog here kahe tara muke hasta diya. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Amoga was going to die, he immediately ran to him in great haste. Placing his hand on Amoga's chest, he spoke as follows. Sahate nirmala e brahmana hridaya krishnera basite e yogyasthana haya. The heart of a Brahmin is by nature very clean, therefore it is not a proper place for Krishna. Therefore it is a proper place for Krishna to sit. Matsarya chandala kene ihan vasaile parama pavitra stana apivat apavitra kaile. Why have you allowed jealousy to sit here also? Because of this, you have become like a chandala, the lowest of men, and you have also contaminated a most purified place, your heart. Sarva bhama sange tomar kalusha hai lakshaya kalma sagu chile jive krishna namalaya. However, due to the association of Sarva bhama bhattacharya, all your contamination is now vanquished. When a person's heart is cleansed of all contamination, he is able to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya is telling Amoga that it's because of your association with Sarva Bhauma Bhattacharya that he is inclined to destroy all the contamination within the heart of a moga. This particular pastime illustrates the point of just how great or how powerful a pure devotee of the Lord is, that just as we say that one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, then so many generations past and future can ultimately derive benefit by their association with such a great devotee, achieve liberation. As elsewhere Prabhupada explains, that he achieved the opportunity to get the association of a Vaishnava. because of Amoga being related to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as this Lord Chaitanya describes, that because of this relationship, then everyone who is related to Sarvabhauma, he immediately becomes very dear to me. And he, even as he describes later on in this chapter, that even a dog in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is very dear to me. So therefore, because of Amoga's relationship, therefore Lord Chaitanya was very much inclined to eradicate the envy and jealousy that is there within the heart of Amoga. As he describes here, why have you allowed this jealousy to sit here within the heart? Because of this jealousy, you have become like a chandala, the lowest of men, and you have contaminated a purified place, your heart. Lord Chaitanya is saying that this is what happens when one actually maintains or harbors jealousy within their heart against a devotee. One becomes like a chandala. And just as it's described in the Bhagavatam, that for one who is envious or of devotional service of the Lord, even if he is a Brahmin, then he is not considered to be as great as one who is born in a family of chandalas, but is devoted to the Lord with his body, mind, and words. So a chandala is considered to be a very low class person, outcast of materialist, outcast of society. And chandala, of course, has so many degraded characteristics, as described, the lowest of men here. So if one maintains this jealousy within their heart, then this means that he has these qualities. What was it? There's one verse. I can't remember the verse about jealousy. It slipped me. But therefore, one must be very, very careful to not be envious of somebody because of their advancement in devotional service. Just like the example is given also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada describes an example of when Rupa and Sanatana Goswami received initiation from Lord Chaitanya. Then all the Vaishnavas who were present, they immediately became very, very pleased, satisfied, were very joyous to see how somebody had actually received the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that this is the characteristic of a Vaishnava, a devotee. A Vaishnava is very pleased when he sees another devotee receiving mercy. He is so satisfied, he thinks himself to be unfortunate that he has not been able to receive such mercy as this other Vaishnava has received from the Lord, such as the mercy that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami had received when the Lord accepted them. Prabhupada also explains that the characteristic of jealousy, that if one is jealous or envious when he sees another devotee receive the mercy of the Lord, then this is a Vaishnava. This is actually demoniac quality. And to think that, oh, somebody's received some favor, why did I not receive such favor? He looks upon that favor in a negative way. He's not pleased to see that this other devotee is favored, but instead he's actually disturbed. And also the disturbance may oftentimes increase even to wanting to to destroy the reputation of somebody who's actually received that favor. This is in the examples that we have already previously given. So, this is a Vaishnava characteristic, a quality. And if one actually maintains such jealousy, then he's considered to be very low character. So, a devotee should be very, very pleased when he sees others receive the mercy. Just like the example we were given the other day, how Sanatana Goswami was very pleased when he saw how Jagannanda Pandit had received such mercy from Lord Chaitanya to be chastised. He was thinking, this is great favor. To have to be chastised means that he was actually thinking that Jagannanda Pandit must be such a great intimate associate of the Supreme Lord. And how fortunate he is to be so intimate associate that the Lord is chastising him in this way. And then he was thinking himself to be not as fortunate, therefore I am outcast. He was thinking, I cannot be so fortunate as Jagannanda Pandit, because as Jagannanda Pandit is getting such mercy, but I am eating the bitter taste, bitter fruit of being recognized and glorified by the Supreme Lord. He was finding it to be unpalatable, distasteful, to be recognized by the Lord in this way. So he was actually appreciating, of course this is the characteristics of such elevated stage of a Vaishnava, he's actually appreciating just how intimate Jagannanda Pandit's relationship was with Lord Chaitanya, and therefore was very pleased to see such mercy, and thinking himself increasingly insignificant and not worthy of such mercy. Instead of pushing himself forward, a Vaishnava is always very anxious to see others go forward in their relationship with the Lord. And therefore, when he sees others rendering service to the Lord very nicely and being recognized in some way very nicely, then he's pleased. This is what gives him pleasure. He derives derives satisfaction from this. Instead of a non-Vaishnava is one who becomes disturbed when he sees that somebody's received some mercy. Why should I should get this mercy? His person is not worthy of such mercy, but I am certainly far more worthy to receive such mercy. Therefore, I have to try to arrange things in such a way that I also may similarly get the mercy, even if it means that I have to destroy the reputation of that person who's received it. That's exactly what is being described here about the symptom of jealousy. That in order to get some recognition, one is prepared to do anything to destroy the reputation or to diminish the mercy received that others may have received by the Lord or by the devotee of the Lord. So, Lord Chaitanya is stating, though, that despite the fact that you have such jealousy in your heart, because of your association with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all your contamination is vanquished. And when a person's heart is cleansed of all contamination, is able to chant the Mahamantra Hare Krishna. Therefore, Amoga, get up and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If you do so, Krishna will unfailingly bestow mercy upon you. Purport. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases. Impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. All of these are one and the same truth. But Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan constitute three different features. Whoever understands Brahman is called a Brahman. And when a Brahman engages in the Lord's devotional service, he is called a Vaishnava. Unless one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his realization of impersonal Brahman is imperfect. A Brahman can chant the Hare Krishna mantra on the platform of Namabhas, but not on the platform of pure vibration. When a Brahman engages in the Lord's service, fully understanding his eternal relationship, his devotional service is called Abhideya. When one attains that stage, he is called a Bhagavata or a Vaishnava. This indicates that he is free from contamination and material attachment. This is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 7:28. Yesham tvanta kitam papam jananam punyakaramanam te dhandva mohanir mukta bhajante mam jidha vrita. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. A Brahmin may be a very learned scholar, but that does not mean that he is free from material contamination. A Brahmin's contamination, however, is in the mode of goodness. In the material world, the three modes are goodness, passion, and ignorance, and all of these are simply different gradations of contamination. Unless a Brahmin transcends such contamination and approaches the platform of unalloyed devotional service, he cannot be accepted as a Vaishnava. An impersonalist may be aware of the impersonal Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, but his activities are on the impersonal platform. Sometimes he imagines a form of the Lord, Saguna Upasana, but such an attempt is never successful in helping one attain complete realization. The impersonalist may consider himself a Brahmin and may be situated in the mode of goodness, but nonetheless he is conditioned by one of the modes of material nature. This means that he is not yet liberated, for liberation cannot be attained unless one is completely free from the modes. In any case, the Mayavad philosophy keeps one conditioned. If one becomes a Vaishnava through proper initiation, he automatically becomes a Brahmin. There is no doubt about it. The Garuda Purana confirms this. Brahmananam sahasrevya sastra yaji vishishyate satra yaji sahasrevya sarava vedanta paraga sarava vedanta vitkotya vishnu bhakto vishishyate. Out of many thousands of Brahmins, one may become qualified to perform yajna. Out of many thousands of such qualified Brahmins, one may be fully aware of the Vedanta philosophy. Out of many millions of learned Vedanta scholars, there may be one Vishnu Bhakta, a devotee of Lord Vishnu. It is he who is most exalted. Unless one is a fully qualified Brahmin, he cannot advance in the spiritual science. A real Brahmin is never envious of Vaishnavas. If he is, he is considered an imperfect neophyte. Impersonalist Brahmins are always opposed to Vaishnava principles. They are envious of Vaishnavas because they do not know the goal of life. Nate vidu svartikatim hi Vishnu. However, when a Brahmana becomes a Vaishnava, there is no duality. If a Brahmin does not become a Vaishnava, he certainly falls down from the Brahmana platform. This is confirmed by Srimad Bhagavatam, na bhajantya bhajananti stanad vrasta patantyada. We can actually see that in this age of Kali, many so-called Brahmins are envious of Vaishnavas. The Kali-contaminated Brahmins consider deity worship to be imaginative. Archie Vishnal Shiladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi. Such a contaminated Brahmin may superficially imagine a form of the Lord, but actually he considers the deity in the temple to be made of stone or wood. Similarly, such a contaminated Brahmin considers the Guru to be an ordinary human being, and he objects when a Vaishnava is created by the Krishna consciousness movement. Many so-called Brahmins attempt to fight us, saying, how can you create a Brahmin out of a European or American? A Brahmin can be born only in a Brahmin family. They do not consider that this is never stated in any revealed scripture. It is specifically stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvanyam Maya Shishtam Gunakama Vibhagasha, according to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Thus, the Brahmin is not a result of the caste system. He becomes a Brahmin only by qualification. Similarly, a Vaishnava does not belong to a particular caste. Rather, his designation is determined by the rendering of devotional service. So, of course, these are strong arguments that Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes give to explain that how a Vaishnava, one can become a Vaishnava, and a Vaishnava by association with a Vaishnava, if one has been properly initiated and trained by a bona fide spiritual master, he can immediately become a Brahmin. But even beyond that, he also can come to the platform of becoming a Vaishnava. However, as Prabhupada explains here, that there are certain characteristics that one must never be envious of Vaishnavas. If one is envious of Vaishnavas, he cannot even be a Brahmin, but to speak of a Vaishnava. And one must become fully qualified Brahmin, otherwise he cannot advance in spiritual science. If he is envious of Vaishnavas, he is considered a very imperfect neophyte. And therefore, Prabhupada gives the example that such persons are envious of Vaishnavas, do not know the goal of life. Vishnu. This verse is from the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, which describes that persons who accept as their spiritual master, as their leader, a materially attached man, they cannot know that the goal of life is to go back to Godhead, to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. Such persons, they accept some person as a leader or a spiritual master, somebody who is also similarly materially attached. And therefore, they are envious of the Vaishnavas, who actually are always speaking out and establishing that the goal of life is to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So, therefore, one cannot even be qualified Brahmin in this way if he's envious of Vaishnavas. And therefore, Prabhupada is establishing his point, and because he was speaking of how that so many so-called Brahmins were envious of the fact that Srila Prabhupada was going to the West, and he was creating Brahmins out of Europeans and Americans. Whereas the envious so-called Brahmins who are trying to maintain a monopoly on Brahminical culture, they were saying that one can only be qualified Brahmin, that the symptom that one is qualified Brahmin is that he has taken his birth in a family of Brahmins. That is the symptom. That is how one can be actually recognized to be qualified. And therefore we can understand that in his previous life he has qualified himself in some way to have accepted the birth in a Brahmin family. But of course, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and the Vaishnava Acharyas would always preach so boldly as to expose such a mentality that actually such designations as Brahmin or Vaishnava, they are not simply a position that one can think that he is immediately becomes qualified for because of some external designation. Just because he may be born in a particular position or he may have a particular title, this does not necessarily mean that all the qualifications are there. That a person is recognized for his elevated stage, whether it be a Brahmin, whether it be a Vaishnava, he's recognized for that stage, not because of the external designation or position, as Prabhupada would oftentimes state, that it is not simply wearing the thread around one's neck that gives one the qualification to be Brahmin. But a person is recognized by the characteristics that he displays. Therefore, one should never use the argument, or one should never be so deluded to think that because one has a particular designation, that is the symptom of his qualification. It is not the symptom that he's qualified because he's actually has some external designation, such as to be called a Brahmin, or even to wear the dress of a Vaishnava, or to be given a position in an institution. One should be very, very careful to think that the position or designation itself that one may have is the symptom of his advancement, or his advanced level of Krishna consciousness. But it is not. The real symptom is his actions, his behavior. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say that such persons, they're envious that a Vaishnava, one who is actually a Vaishnava of the Lord, he can go to such places and preach very strongly, preaching the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirata Hunanja Pulinda Pukasha, that even those persons who are in the most degraded sections of society, they can all become purified by association with the devotee of the Lord due to the Lord's supreme power. That Prabhupada had this conviction, and because Prabhupada also had the purity, he was able to see beyond the external designations, and he was able to see beyond the designation of Chandala, Mlecha, Yovana, even though by the symptoms of those who were actually taking their birth in European and American countries, they had very, very considered, according to Vedic standards, obviously very degraded birth. But Prabhupada could see that yes, actually, although one had a degraded birth, still one can immediately come to a very qualified platform due to the association of your devotee. And therefore, Prabhupada would preach very, very strongly that according to scripture, according to the statements of Shastra, Just as Prabhupada says right here, nowhere will you find in revealed scripture that it states that a Brahmin is one who is born a Brahmin can only be a Brahmin if he's born in a Brahmin family. Nowhere is it stated in Shastra, as Prabhupada states. On the contrary, Prabhupada would quote the examples from 7th Canto of the Bhagavatam and other places that a person is recognized by his qualifications and not by his title or his position. So this, of course, is a warning also to the devotees in Krishna Consciousness Movement. We should not become guilty of the same thing that Prabhupada was so critical about, by thinking that simply some external designation that one may be able to achieve on some position is actually the symptom that one is actually qualified. If one actually, even though he may be a Brahmin, but if he's averse to devotional service, or if he's envious of Vaishnavas, as this is the whole point that is being explained here in this chapter, if he's envious of Vaishnavas, then he can't even be a qualified Brahmin, or to speak of a Vaishnava. So, therefore, it is symptoms which enable one to be recognized for their level of advancement of Krishna consciousness, and not simply the designation. Devotional service in itself, just as we are reading, I guess the day before yesterday, Sava Padu Vinaya Muktan Tatpara Nirmalam, that devotional service, for one who is fully engaged in devotional service, there are two pride products of the devotional service, two side effects, and one is that one becomes free from all designations. So to become free from all designations means to become free from these external designations, that to think that I am qualified because of some particular designation. This is Srila Prabhupada would always manifest such a complete humility, always thinking himself to be the servant of everyone. That is a symptom of a highly advanced devotee. This is a highly advanced devotee always thinks himself to be not above, but a servant of everyone. And therefore, never becomes falsely proud of some external designation. The one who is proud due to a position of false prestige, as described in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, no one becomes purified by such association of such persons who are proud in a position of false prestige, thinking themselves to be a Brahmin. Whereas even if one is born in a family of Chandalas, if he's a devotee, then immediately he is considered to be on a far superior platform than a proud Brahmin in a position of false prestige. So it was on that basis that Srila Prabhupada expanded the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and therefore he was always very, very cautious, warning us to not listen or not to accept the statements of such envious persons who could not appreciate. In so many places, Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita, he speaks at this point, that such persons, they cannot appreciate that when a devotee of the Lord, who's fixed in the service of the Lord, they may try to offer so many obstacles. And Prabhupada, in so many places, he speaks about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and therefore, and Bhagavatam. This gives us, of course, the conviction, and to see that how clear it is, how dangerous it is to be envious of a pure devotee. That there were so many persons who were actually envious of Prabhupada's success in expanding Krishna consciousness. So envious. What they were not capable of doing. They were simply satisfied to become proud of their positions, and they were not capable of in any way of going and expanding a movement all over the world, establishing so many temples, and what to speak of. Srila Prabhupada oftentimes states that the characteristic of a devotee or a Vaishnava is recognized by how much he can elevate others by his association. So instead of recognizing it, they were simply, such persons were critical. Of course, some were not. Some did recognize what Srila Prabhupada had done. But so many of them were unable due to this envious mentality. Therefore, Prabhupada warned us about this envy of a Vaishnava, and that one should not listen, one should not associate with such persons who are envious of Vaishnavas. Alright. There's more, this chapter. I don't think, wait a minute. There's just a few verses, I think, left of this chapter. Oh, no. There's not as many pages. Any questions? Yes. He's real famous?
Free from
the first thing is one has to recognize that it's there. In other words,